Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 56. Father, thou joy of loving hearts,
thou fount of life, thou light of men, from all the best that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. Hymn number 56. Imogene from Australia will read from the scripture.
The Bible. Revelation. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour into it. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father,
which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 234. O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret. Help me to hear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Hymn number 234.
Oh, Master,
welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sunday mornings here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we talk about this week's lesson, other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning, so if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school that meets every Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available to children just about anywhere. It has its own dedicated teleconference number. Many of our students don't live in the area, but attend via telephone. And that means that if you don't live in the area, but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call the church, the main church number, and we'll give you the number for the Sunday school. And our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. And we have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15 p.m., where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives much improved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery available for the infants and toddlers. So if you do show up in person, you can bring the whole family. We have many websites, 21, I believe, all in different languages. And each website contains the very finest of Christian Science literature and songs and music. And everything that's available on our websites is free of charge. And as a result, we have found people finding one or more of our websites from across the globe and finding the healing power of Christian Science, for which we are very grateful. This is our missionary work. And that is why we are so grateful to those of you who contribute financially to this church. It's a great cause. One of the articles that is featured on our English language website, I'd like to point out, entitled From Death Unto Life by Albert Gilmore, goes with this week's lesson, Probation After Death. We keep on learning. I'd like to point out also that the next Bible study session will be this coming Saturday, November 1st. Yes, it will be November this Saturday. So be sure to mark your calendars. The Bible study questions will be on the website if they're not already. And be sure to join us Saturday, November 1st at 10 a.m. Everyone is welcome here, including all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, which shows the importance of reading and studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Dale from Virginia.
Page 627. Diseased eyes cured. Christian Science came to me when I was a wreck, my body being completely covered with sores. My eyes were very bad, so that I sat in a darkened room for weeks together, most of the time in bed under opiates. The home doctor and a specialist said the disease of the eyes could not be cured, though they might help me for a while. I had one operation, and the doctor said if I took cold, I would become totally blind. My suffering was beyond telling. A clergyman called almost every day and sat by my bed and wept. And my good, kind doctor shed tears many times. Finally, after a year of this terrible suffering, I was sent to Indiana to a sister who had been healed of lung trouble by Christian Science. The first day I was there, she read to me from the Bible and from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mrs. Eddy. And I was healed. I knew that God was no respecter of persons, and when I saw what had been done for my sister, who was changed from being a mere frame to a strong, robust, healthy, rosy-cheeked woman, the cough all gone, I said, God has as much for me if I will accept it. I was healed instantaneously by Christian Science. And I'm thankful to God for giving us this understanding through Mrs. Eddy, our beloved leader. I am now in perfect health. Mrs. F. F., Laurel, Mississippi.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 8 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Probation After Death. The golden text, Jeremiah. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The responsive reading, Colossians. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding,
that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness,
giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light,
who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
I will read from the Bible. Proverbs. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Acts. Paul said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus, to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem, for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And when it was determined that they should sail into Italy, and entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched. Not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.' And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him." 2 Corinthians. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Florence from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Universal salvation rests on progression and probation, and is unattainable without them. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling," says the apostle, and he straightway asks, "For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure." Philippians 2:12-13. Truth has furnished the key to the kingdom. And with this key, Christian Science has opened the door of the human understanding. None may pick the lock, nor enter by some other door. Every day makes its demands upon us for higher proofs rather than professions of Christian power. These proofs consist solely in the destruction of sin, sickness, and death by the power of Spirit, as Jesus destroyed them. This is an element of progress, and progress is the law of God, whose law demands of us only what we can certainly fulfill. Individuals are consistent who, watching and praying, can run and not be weary, walk and not faint, who gain good rapidly and hold their position, or attain slowly and yield not to discouragement. God requires perfection, but not until the battle between spirit and flesh is fought and the victory won. To stop eating, drinking, or being clothed materially before the spiritual facts of existence are gained step by step is not legitimate. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, He directs our path. Imperfect mortals grasp the ultimate of spiritual perfection slowly, but to begin aright and to continue the strife of demonstrating the great problem of being is doing much. During the sensual ages, absolute Christian Science may not be achieved prior to the change called death, for we have not the power to demonstrate what we do not understand. But the human self must be evangelized. This task God demands us to accept lovingly today and to abandon so fast as practical the material, and to work out the spiritual, which determines the outward and actual. The author has healed hopeless organic disease and raised the dying to life and helped through the understanding of God as the only life. It is a sin to believe that ought can overpower omnipotent and eternal life, and this life must be brought to light by the understanding that there is no death, as well as by other graces of spirit. We must begin, however, with the more simple demonstrations of control, and the sooner we begin, the better. Progress is born of experience. It is the ripening of mortal man through which the mortal is dropped for the immortal. Either here or hereafter, suffering or science must destroy all illusions regarding life and mind and regenerate material sense and self. The old man with his deeds must be put off. Nothing sensual or sinful is immortal. The death of a false material sense and of sin, not the death of organic matter, is what reveals man and life harmonious, real, and eternal. Man is more than a material form with a mind inside, which must escape from its environment in order to be immortal. Man reflects infinity, and this reflection is the true idea of God. God expresses in man the infinite idea forever developing itself, broadening and rising higher and higher from a boundless basis. Gladness to leave the false landmarks and joy to see them disappear, this disposition helps to precipitate the ultimate harmony. The purification of sense and self is a proof of progress. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The way is straight and narrow, which leads to the understanding that God is the only life. It is a warfare with the flesh, in which we must conquer sin, sickness, and death, either here or hereafter, certainly before we can reach the goal of spirit or life in God. As death findeth mortal man, so shall he be after death, until probation and growth shall effect the needed change. Mind never becomes dust. No resurrection from the grave awaits mind or life, for the grave has no power over either. No final judgment awaits mortals, for the judgment day of wisdom comes hourly and continually, even the judgment by which mortal man is divested of all material error. Our Master said, "But the Comforter shall teach you all things." When the science of Christianity appears, it will lead you into all truth. The Sermon on the Mount is the essence of the science, and the eternal life, not the death of Jesus, is its outcome. Those who are willing to leave their nets or to cast them on the right side for truth have the opportunity now, as aforetime, to learn and to practice Christian healing. The scriptures contain it. The spiritual import of the word imparts its power. But as Paul says, "Who shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? If sent, how shall they preach, convert, and heal multitudes except the people hear?" If you launch your bark upon the ever agitated but helpful waters of truth, you will encounter storms. Your good will be evil spoken of. This is the cross. Take it up and bear it, for through it you win and wear the crown. Pilgrim on earth, thy home is heaven. Stranger, thou art the guest of God. For victory over a single sin, we give thanks and magnify the Lord of hosts. What shall we say of the mighty conquest over all sin? A louder song, sweeter than has ever before reached high heaven, thou risest clearer and nearer to the great heart of Christ. For the accuser is not there, and love sends forth a primal and everlasting strain. Being is holiness, harmony, immortality. It is already proved that a knowledge of this, even in a small degree, will uplift the physical and moral standards of mortals with increased longevity, will purify and elevate character. Thus progress will finally destroy all error and bring immortality to light.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 304. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Shepherd, show me how to go o'er the hillside steep, how to gather, how to sow, how to feed thy sheep. I will listen for thy voice, lest my footsteps stray. I will follow and rejoice all the rugged way. Hymn number 304.
Been so good. close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful.
Let's now sing hymn number 290. Press on, ye sons of light, untiring in your holy fight, still treading each temptation down and battling for a brighter crown. Hymn number 290.
Press on, press on, ye sons of light, for light. from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, of the correlative passage from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Gospel of John. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen.